Good morning. China's in the news at the moment, and especially the so-called Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. And it feels like that, doesn't it, that we're living in interesting times. This sermon series, Faithful in Uncertain Times, couldn't be more relevant, could it? I've sort of been trying to wean myself off the news. For years, I woke up to Radio 4, and then I thought, why do I start the day here in argument and controversy? What a great way to start the day. So I now have something a bit gentler and softer. And this morning, I deliberately didn't hear anything about Donald Trump. I thought, I'm going to have a Trumpless day and not listen to any of that. Because not that we bury our heads in the sands, but our view of the world can be skewed. And our understanding of what God is doing in the world can be skewed as well. Mother Teresa is supposed to have said that she was very well informed about what was going on in the world because she didn't read newspapers and she didn't watch TV. Well, maybe there's a solution there for us. I don't know. What is God saying to us? What has God been saying to us through these letters to the churches in the book of Revelation? Let's pray and ask that he will speak to us again this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've not left us adrift in the world. We thank you that you're continuously speaking to us, and particularly through the words of Scripture. So we ask this morning that as we think again about these words to this church 2,000 years ago, that you will speak to us. More importantly, that you will give us those ears to hear, that we will respond to you, live lives worthy of you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Laodicea, little town in Turkey, part of a group of three churches, Hierapolis and Colossae and Laodicea. If you want a geographical picture of them, think Winchester, Southampton, Fareham. That's how far apart they were from each other. Quite close to each other. And with one person, Epaphras, who looked after them, it seems. If you look at the end of Colossians, you can see a little bit there about those churches. And how especially the book of Colossians was, Paul's instruction was that it be read in Laodicea as well. It's important to remember as well that these letters, not just the ones in Revelation, but the ones in the New Testament as a whole, were usually heard by people rather than read. And I think the reading of Scripture publicly is really important. What Claire's just done is an important part of our worship, that we listen to Scripture. Actually, when you listen to the words of Scripture, you get a different perspective to when you read the words of Scripture. They're both important, but we need them both as well. So we've got this letter to the church in Laodicea, this little town in Turkey. Laodicea was famous for three things in particular. It was a banking center, a rich place. It was a textile center because there was a breed of sheep which produced black wool, which was quite well known and quite in demand. And so that led to a textile industry. And there was a medical school. There was a medical school. It was particularly strong on eyes and ears. I don't know about ears and nose and throat, but eyes and ears it was particularly strong on in Laodicea. And some of these are reflected in what else Jesus. Remember, this letter is from Jesus. This is not John's words to Laodicea. This is the words of Jesus himself, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. This is who is speaking to the church in Laodicea. And this is who he's speaking to us this morning through that same word. And so that is reflected in what we read later about Laodicea. So Laodicea and the church in Laodicea reflected the culture around them. Some of the things we read reflected the air that they breathed in, the place where they lived, the places where they worked, their own story. And there's a challenge for us here. How much do we reflect Southampton? Now, there's a positive side to that. We need to understand the place where we live. We need to understand the place where God has called us to serve him. But at the same time, we can be overwhelmed by that culture. We can be swept along by it. And the problem with culture is that generally you don't see it. It's like the air that you breathe. Most of the way that culture affects us is unseen. We don't even notice it. We're not even aware of it. And often it's only when you go somewhere else that you realize that actually it's different here. There are different things. Northerners coming to the South generally make some sort of rude comments about Southerners being unwelcome. I don't think that's true at all. But it's the kind of thing that people pick up, that there are differences depending on where you live and what this place is that you live in. And there's a sense in which, just as Laodicea represented its culture and reflected its culture, so the question for us is, how much do we represent the good and the bad of Southampton culture? Well, there's a TV programme which is called something like Inside the GP Surgery. I can't remember what it's called. It's addictive once you start watching it, really, because it's just fascinating seeing what happens in the GP's waiting room. Now, there are plenty of GPs here, I know, for whom that's the last thing you ever want to watch. But for those of us who are innocent of all these things, it's just nice to know what goes on in a GP's surgery. It's actually very impressive, really, I have to say that. And in fact, what we've got here in Jesus' letter, Jesus' word to Laodicea, is a bit like a doctor's consultation. And that's how I'm going to handle it this morning. So we're going to start off, first of all, with looking at the symptom that's presenting. And the symptom that's presenting is very simple. Verse 15, Jesus says to this church, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Actually, I just wonder, even before he got to the cold nor hot bit, whether I know your deeds, there was a little swelling of pride. You know, he knows what we like. He's seen what we do. No, I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. You're lukewarm. You're a bit blah. You're not very impressive, really. Neither cold nor hot. He goes even further. He says, therefore, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth, which is the cleaned up translation, actually. Because he said, I'm going to throw you up. I'm going to vomit you. One writer talked about the nauseating Laodiceans. That was the impact of their lukewarmness. That was the impact of being neither cold nor hot. What an awful thing to say. What a stark thing to say. Neither cold nor hot. The thing that was interesting about this church compared with the others is that it's all so ordinary. There's no great thing that they've done wrong. There's no obvious compromise that they made with false teaching or with something like that. They have, actually, but it's just not obvious. What they presented was just blah, just lukewarmness, just going along with the flow. It's a big challenge for us, isn't it? How much do we challenge the culture that we live in? And how much do we absorb the culture we live in? In order to minister within the culture we live in, we have to understand it. We have to know it. We have to know what's going on. But do we serve it best by just accepting it? By just going along with it? One of the big issues, I think, for the church as a whole is how countercultural are we? In the New Testament, this new church, this early church, was always countercultural. It was challenging. Not because it was intentionally challenging, but because the gospel is challenging. Because what Christ has done in us and what Christ is doing in the world is a challenge to the way that the world is. These letters to the churches are an interesting reflection of something much bigger. The rest of Revelation is this great vision, which is, for many of us, very hard to understand. But right at the beginning, what Jesus is doing is saying to the churches, what is going on among you is a reflection of what is going on in another realm, what is going on in another world, what is going on in the spiritual world. In Ephesians, Paul said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It may sound spooky, but there is a cosmic battle that we're involved in. And what is going on here in our churches, in our own church, in our own lives, is a reflection of that cosmic battle. There's much more going on than meets the eye. So what looked like blah in terms of Laodicea was not quite as innocent as it seemed. They were a reflection of what was going on in another realm, in a heavenly realm. So the warning came when the symptom was presented, that Jesus was about to spit them out of his mouth. They were in great danger. And so he then comes along with a diagnosis of what the problem is. And in verse 17, we've got a you say, I say. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. I say, you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Hard words. You say, haven't we done well? We're self-sufficient. We can cope. And I say, not a bit of it. You are poor, wretched, blind, naked. Is that the state of our churches now? Are we in danger of being self-satisfied? Some of us are. Some are the opposite. Sometimes we sort of lose confidence completely. And we think, well, that's it, it's all over. But the bigger danger, I think, is the danger of complacency, of pride. We're all right. We've done quite well. Maybe the Church of England's got a particular problem with this because of our history and our heritage and all the buildings and our role in society and all those sort of things. Are we in danger of pride, spiritual pride, that cuts us off from the Lord Jesus himself? So the diagnosis is pride, reflected in this, we can cope, we can do without you. Michael Wilcox said, the only good thing in Laodicea is the church's thoroughly good opinion of herself. And that is false. What's our opinion of ourselves? Well, like a good doctor, Jesus then prescribes some treatment. And he says, verse 16, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. You say you're rich. No, there's another kind of gold. Buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. White clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. See this Laodicea bit, the culture? We've got the finance, buy gold refined in the fire. We've got the textiles, white clothes so you can cover your nakedness. We've got the medicine, salve, to put on your eyes so that you can see. It's a clash of cultures here. What was the local culture Jesus wants to transform? And he transforms it when they will come to him. Christ is enough for me. That's what he's saying. Christ is enough. You don't need what is there. You need what is here. You need what I offer. Come to me. Put aside your pride. Put aside your self-sufficiency. Recognize that you're not okay, but that I want to make you okay. And he says, those whom I love, I rebuke. Here we've got a prognosis now. You say to the doctor, so what's going to happen? Am I going to get over it? You know, how long have I got, doctor? Am I going to get over it? Am I going to recover? He says, well, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. In all their pride, in all their failure, Jesus still says that he loves them. Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So here's what to do. Be earnest and repent. And in some words which really are quite famous and have been used and misused in many ways, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This picture of Jesus standing outside, knocking on the door, is a vivid one. It's one which is very familiar to many people. Trish and I, we were on holiday once in Turkey, and we visited this area. And we went to Hierapolis. Actually, the tourist place is called Pamukkale, and there's these fantastic calcium deposits on the hillside that look like, from the distance, it looks like ski field. But the temperature is about 35 degrees, and you think, I don't think that is snow over there. And when you get there, it's solid calcium. And Laodicea is down the road from there. And we decided we would go. After a long day at Hierapolis, we thought we'll just pop into Laodicea to see what it's like. We got there, and it was closed. And I thought, actually, we're not the first ones not to be able to get into Laodicea, are we? Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. There wasn't even a door for us to knock on, actually. But Jesus stood at the door of Laodicea, wanted to come in, wanted to enter. And that is the amazing thing, isn't it? That Jesus here, in one sense, is condemning them, he's criticizing them, he's saying that he wants to vomit them out of his mouth. And yet, he says, it's because I love you that I'm doing this. Because I love you that I'm making this clear to you. It's because I love you that I'm pointing this out, because I want to change things. I want to put things right. Maybe you felt a bit battered by this series of sermons, you know. It can be a bit like, hit me harder, one more thing, what's wrong this week, you know, another church. And it can feel a bit like that, but this is the great reassurance. It's those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. It's because I love you that I want to change things. I'm doing this out of love, and if you open the door, I will come in. No doubt about it. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And I will give them the right to sit on the throne with me. This is not hopeless. This is not the end of the line. This is the door to a new life for Laodicea. This is a door to a new era of fruitfulness and faithfulness and joy in serving God. If only they will listen. If only they will respond. If only they will look to him for what they need rather than to the culture around them and to the world around them. So is Jesus talking to the church, or is he talking to individuals? It's very easy to talk about our church and maybe criticize our church and, you know, see what's wrong and what needs to be done. Maybe even to have a vision for our church much more positively. But there's an individual level to all of that as well. What is God saying to us as individuals? What is Jesus saying about you and me? What is he saying about our own lukewarmness? Not just maybe the lukewarmness of the church. Michael Wilcock again said, should the church even yet be deaf to his appeal, he addresses himself to its members one by one. For when Christ says, if any man will hear my voice, he's appealing to the individual. Even if the church as a whole does not heed the warning, the individual may. And for us this morning, yes, there's a word to Highfield Church, there's a word to all of us, but there's a word to us as individuals. Have we become self-satisfied? Have we become proud? Have we become feeling that we can get on with things all right? The odd crisis, maybe we need God, but most of the time we're all right. Have we become like that? Have we become lukewarm? Do we need to open the door and welcome him in? Do we need to accept again all that he has for us? All that he wants for us. Jimmy reminded us of the audience of one. And there's a sense in which, as well as an audience of one, there's a cast of one. It's not just what we do together. It's what we do as individuals. There's a cast of one and an audience of one, the Lord Jesus. What is he saying to us today? I think it's a very simple message. It's a message of turning to him. Do you remember in the baptism service, there's a question. Do you turn to Christ? And the response? I turn to Christ. And that's not just a one-off. That actually is what the Christian life is about. It's about a continual turning to Christ. It's not a turning to Christ once and then getting on with it because we can now cope. The Christian life is a continual one of turning to Christ. Somebody wrote a book years ago called The Call to Conversion, and the call to conversion is a call to conversion, to conversion, to conversion. We continually need to be converted, to be changed. We continually need to turn to Christ. There are special times when we turn to Christ, not just at baptism, not just in conversion. Times when God speaks to us clearly and we think, yeah, we need to sort things out. We need to turn again. We need to put some things behind us. But it's not all over then. One of the reasons for coming together to worship is to turn to Christ. It's that fixed point when we turn to Christ once again. You know, we say the confession. And in a sense, yes, every time it's dealt with forever. We're forgiven. But we still need to keep turning. We still need to keep confessing. We still need to keep turning to him. So what is God saying to his people in Southampton today? What is he saying to his people in the parish of Highfield? What is he saying to you and me? He's saying, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if you turn to me, if you open the door, I will come in, I will eat with you, and I will allow you to share my throne, to sit with me. What seems like a frightening, scary message to the church at Laodicea turned into a message of hope, turned into a message of transformation, turned into a message of possibility, turned into a message of newness. How are we going to respond to that invitation today?